Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 29, 2019. What does Rosh Hashanah symbolize? Rosh Hashanah symbolizes our aspiration to higher values, benevolence, sharing, and caring for each other. The essence of Judaism is unity and brotherly love, expressed in the sayings, "That which you hate, do not do to your friend, and love your neighbor as yourself." The tradition to eat a fish's head symbolizes our decision to be at the forefront, leading ourselves and others toward unity. Fifteen Rosh Hashanah Insights. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 29th of September 2019. We have been celebrating Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the Hebrew year, for 5,779 years already. What could truly be renewed this year, and how can we change our perception of reality so that the coming year will be significantly better? Here are 15 mind-changing insights. 1. The world at a turning point. In the 21st century we have achieved everything. And yet, we can't shake away the troubles and ailments that plague us both as individuals and as a society. Political instability, social division, terrorism, security threats, climate destabilization, mass immigration, and more, are just some of the symptoms pointing to the global entanglement the world is facing. For thousands of years we've been trying to fix the world around us in countless ways. But the facts on the ground prove that we haven't cracked the formula to a peaceful and happy life. The silver lining is that people are beginning to question the current paradigm, and look for a new approach to life. 2. The world is a mirror of our inner world. The Ari, the Kabbalist who described the entire structure of the spiritual reality in great detail, summarized it as follows: man is a small world, the world is a great man. In other words, the entire world is a reflection of man's inner world. It reflects the consequences of man's inner qualities. If we learn how to perceive reality correctly, we will find the connection between what happens in the world and what happens within us. Thus, by changing man, we can change the world. 3. Human beings are motivated by desire. The power that drives the development of humanity is the desire to receive pleasure. This desire grows in both quantity and quality. The ladder of development of human desire begins with basic physical desires for food, sex, family and shelter, continues with human social desires for money, honor, power and knowledge, and climaxes at the desire for spiritual fulfillment. At every step of the ladder, the desire shapes our perception of reality. 4. The egoistic desire shapes human perception. At a certain stage in the development of human desire, people want to take pleasure at each other's expense. Kabbalah calls this natural phase of development egoism. The increasing egoistic desire in man shapes his perception of reality. As a result, man sees the outside world in an increasing crisis, a world in which man is wolf to man. 5. The human ego at a dead end. The egoistic desire sees numerous possibilities to draw pleasure from the world. It is in constant pursuit for greater pleasure. But time and again, man becomes disillusioned, as the desire is met with dissatisfaction that causes disappointment and frustration. Over time, the bitter experience accumulates in humanity and every generation grows discouraged from the chase faster than the previous one. This is the reason for the meteoric rise in the demand for drugs and the phenomenon of depression becoming the leading cause of disability in the 21st century. 6. To change the world, change man. Instinctively, we want to correct the world around us, as that is where our problems appear. But this is an illusion. The source of our problems is the growing ego in our inner world. Just as a vehicle's dashboard shows the driver data such as speed, fuel, and so forth, the world presents man with various data to inform him about his inner qualities. Therefore, If we correct our egoism, our negative attitude to others, the dashboard will present us with a perfect world, a replica of our inner world. 7. Man changes in his relation to others. Man's attitude to reality changes when he treats others as he treats himself. Treating one's fellow man positively drives a positive attitude to the other levels of nature as well, the inanimate, flora and fauna. That is why the sages of Kabbalah coined the famous maxim, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." It's not about manners or morality, but rather a means for a fundamental change in our perception of reality. In the effort to perceive all parts of reality around us as one whole, we evoke the natural force that builds a new perception within us. In other words, a person who improves himself directly improves the world around him. 8. Every crisis calibrates our perception. The purpose behind all the troubles that plague us, both as individuals and as a society, is that we will pay attention to the correction of our ego, that we will improve our attitude to each other. As long as we neglect this, reality will press us more and more so as to calibrate our perception of reality. 9. The positive path to a change in perception. A pleasant, efficient and fast way to change our perception of reality is an educational process of raising awareness. In this process, one learns how to see and feel the world as a replica of his inner qualities. Step by step, one can upgrade his perception of reality consciously and independently, not through crises. 10. The virtual world prepares us for a new perception of reality. The transformation of the world into a small global village helps us understand that we are all connected and interdependent. What happens in an individual affects the entire world. Alongside growing interdependence, virtual networks and technologies are developing exponentially. They release us from the chains of the physical world and get us used to the idea that humanity is an inner essence within us. For example, when people communicate virtually, they form an inner character of the person or group with whom they communicate. 11. A tiny change of desire, a huge change in the world. It may seem that changing our perception of reality requires intellectual scrutiny or deep self-analysis, but this is not the case. Since the desire is what shapes our perception, all that is needed is a genuine shift of desire, that is, a heartfelt emotional shift. This means that simple actions that increase our sensitivity to unity among people can focus our perception, and thus project a brighter picture of the world. 12. Connecting the pieces of reality leads to revelation of the Creator. Regular work on "Love thy neighbor as thyself," that is, the effort to grasp all parts of reality as one whole, reveals to us the single force that operates reality. The force that is the foundation of reality, that binds together the still, vegetative, animate and human to one harmonious system. This is how we gradually begin to feel how the same force operates everything in reality. 13. The world is within us, the next revolution after Einstein. Humanity is facing a tremendous and profound change in the approach to life and to the whole of reality. Just as humanity believed that the sun revolved around the earth and Copernicus proved otherwise, and just as Einstein redefined reality as a relative picture that depends on the observer, the next revolutionary stage of development will show us that reality is a projection of man's inner self. 14. The pioneers in changing the concept of reality. The people who have achieved a new perception of reality are called Kabbalists. The first group of Kabbalists who led a social life based on a complete perception of reality has become the people of Israel over the years. Since then, the Jewish people's role has been to serve as an example for humanity, an example for a society that lives in a unified perception of reality. This is the true teaching of the people of Israel, and this is the reason for the unexplainable feeling of the world towards the Jewish people. 15. Rosh Hashanah is an opportunity for change. Rosh Hashanah means the beginning of a change in man, a change in his perception of reality. Therefore, The coming holiday symbolizes the perfect opportunity for us to decide that this year we are changing our minds and hearts to perceive a new reality. Happy Rosh Hashanah. Disturbances are blessings from above. Question: can there be a physical rejection of people in the group as a disturbance from the Creator for realizing my spiritual potential? Answer: I would say that that is a blessing from above. This is good. You are given an example of your egoism, how much you cannot stand others. That is, you have an absolutely clear discernment of where and how you should correct yourself and, at the same time, how to measure your progress in relation to your friends, qualitatively and quantitatively. It will be clear to you. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 23rd of June 2019. New Life Number 142. Israelis must spread integral education to the world.
Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here, the New Life series, the educational series with Dr. Rav Michael Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mezuz. Hello. And today we want to start a new subject, the Israeli society. Today we spoke about a lot of things in our lives, the connections between us, the new approach to the connections between us in many areas, relationships, family, the new workplace, money, health, communications, many, many things that were fascinating and were actually correct and suitable for anywhere in the world. One size for humans everywhere that will light the way, the way that we need to develop and organize our lives as individuals and as a better society, a new life. And in the next subject that we're going to open, we want to go inward to the Israeli society. Nitza. Opening remarks. So first of all, the subject of the Israeli society is very, very exciting, and it touches the heart of each and every one of us. When we ask people, what does it mean to be Israeli? What is Israeli society? A smile comes up, and also there's pain attached to it. There's a great love on the one hand, and on the other hand, a feeling that we miss something, that we're not really succeeding in realizing our Israeliness, the Israeli society, and we all feel it. When we look at the situation in the Israeli society, this is my opinion, but it represents the general opinion in the nation. We're looking at a society that went through a very interesting process that came with principles and an ideology to set up a big home here for everyone that would be based on principles of justice, freedom, equality, mutual respect. But actually, in actuality, something else happened altogether. It appears when we look at the existing situation, it looks like we've lost our way. And the feeling is, when I even analyze it in a psychological manner, I'm looking at a society that came from a certain place, went through a lot of suffering, came to a new place, and wanted to build something new, a different kind of society, a new society, more modern. That's putting aside what happened in the past and possibly even disconnected from its roots. Not even possibly, it really disconnected. That's what you thought, that's what you think, that's how I feel. That there was a desire to build something new and leave all the other stuff behind. And it's like an individual person that's experiencing a trauma, tragedy. He has an inclination to leave everything behind and start something new. And then there's distance. He gets so far away and gets to a new stage and tries to build something completely different, disconnected from the past. And then at a certain point, he reaches a stage, which is the stage I feel we're in right now as a society, and he understands that he went too far, that he developed something plastic, some culture, some package. We're trying to be something that we're not. Maybe it's a nice package for society, but inside we lost the spirit. We lost our roots. We don't have a grasp on anything. And as a result, it's very hard for us to see the future because we're not really connected to the roots. We can't bloom, just like a tree that's not connected to the ground. You can't, what kind of fruits can it give? It's superficial. When we're looking at what happened today, there's all kinds of attempts to go back to the past. We're longing for it. And I ask myself a lot, are we missing it or... Missing means to go back to something old. Otherwise, we can take the motives. We want something else, but that's also based on what we had in the past. And then I said to myself, why shouldn't we do like a restart to the Israeli society? But not a restart to start from scratch, to go back to what we had, but to build something completely different. When we began to prepare these shows to talk about Israeli society, of course, the vision came up that Herzl wrote at the time. He wrote a vision for Israel. And what's interesting is not the principles that he wrote, but the fact that he wrote a vision. He marked a target. He instilled hope in the people and caused them to raise up and do something new. So with this whole long introduction, we feel today that the Israeli society needs a new vision. Even though we're living here in our country, we don't feel that as Israeli society, we're realizing what we can really be and what we can truly be. So with your help, we'd like to start to build this vision, this Israeli vision, the new Israeli vision. I think that we went through a crisis. We're going through it. A very special crisis that no nation has been through. Because we're a young country, the people here, it may be the most ancient, but it's also young. The society is young that wanted to try to build something and felt that it's the example it took, that they see it's not working. It doesn't suit us what everyone else does. The fact that Herzl was right or not, or Ben-Gurion, or all those in between, these spiritual leaders, they all came from socialist Russia, most of them, Jabotinsky and all of those. Let's leave that. It's clear to us that it's not working. They wanted to build something. Each of them had their own and their own opinion, and there were tons of arguments, and we saw that everything failed, all of them. Bala Sulam wrote in the 20s of the previous century that he's coming to Israel. That there has to be a spiritual country here, because we have no other justification unless this people in its borders will give an example to all of humanity how to exist for a new existence. That your world you will see in your life, that in this world we will be privileged to see everything that humanity has to reach.
לממש את כל האבולוציה שלנו.
according to nature's plan, the plan of evolution. And he wanted it. He wanted to open it to everyone. And everyone ganged up on him and went against him. And then he got out of that because he saw there's nothing he can do. He spoke to Ben Gurion, he didn't understand him. He saw that Rav Kook is also sitting quietly. Even though he was really yearning to advance slightly to that vision. So he dedicated himself to writing. Even though he really wanted to be a spiritual leader. He went to Poland during the revolution, the Bolsheviks. Just like he spoke with Ben-Gurion. Ben-Gurion wanted to talk with him about Kabbalah, and he wanted to talk with Ben-Gurion about communism. This is what Rabash told us, that Ben-Gurion said to him, because he was there in a few conversations. This people here, like we're learning in his words, it can't rise up if it doesn't rise up to realize its destiny. And the world needs to be prepared for this. We see that Baal HaSulam, it didn't work out for him. To implement his agenda, his hopes, his plans, because the nation and the world and the people weren't ready. They were far, far before realizing the evil inclination. And in order to begin implementing Israel's destiny, we see that according to history, the whole world has to be prepared for it, has to need it. So this is how I see the things. That we've been here for 140, 130 years since the first Aliyah. And we went through a very long path, a good path. We learned about ourselves. We truly reached being a melting pot, like a kibbutz, where we're truly like nuts in a sack, but we feel that we're nuts and that we're in a sack. We have this understanding, even slightly, not at a... not at the complete awareness, but the fact that we don't have a path and the fact that we're just blown up with our arrogance, silly arrogance, it's also everyone understands it. And our dependence, our great dependence on the whole world is being revealed on a daily basis. And we're sitting and we're afraid. God forbid something will happen in the world and we're going to feel it in economics, security, especially in our ability to exist at all here, etc. There's a very big problem that is starting with the whole world going down, being revealed to Israel, to the nation of Israel, to the Israeli society. It's being revealed to Israeli society that there's no bad without the good in it. And here we're reaching an opportunity to take account. On the one hand, we see this people has gone through so many verifications about religion. Is it connected to this more, tradition more? And this whole religious body that's using the country, taking advantage, and the leftists. Here we're checking now. But we haven't reached any conclusions. That everyone is so clever to see where we are, what the situation is, and criticize everyone else. But nobody has a solution. Even a conclusion of the current state, we don't hear it in the people. There's no leader rising up or some party apart from the screaming. Of course, everyone's screaming that they understand and that they're capable. But it doesn't exist. Clearly, it cannot go on like this. Because until our plans won't be adjusted with the plans of nature, the plan of nature, the plan of evolution, of advancement of all of humanity, that we are the front part of that plan. If it's not adjusted to our role in humanity, before all the nations and among all the nations, until all of humanity will not start advancing towards understanding the situation it's in, this dangerous situation and loss of way, until all these things will not ripen and cook in the complete manner, that this fruit will be completely about to explode, no one will listen. About the true program of nature that is here before us, and who can implement it, and how can they implement it? There won't be anyone to do it with, because these things, in opposition to all the plans and all the previous processes, this process has to be in awareness, conscious of everyone, without repressing anyone, without pressure. Only through what we call integral education. Bring humanity to the awareness of what they're dealing with, why they went through this entire path, what's happening with them now, why sometimes we feel like this or like that, and where do we need to advance to, and there's no choice, and it's our free choice now. And precisely now we need this awareness to develop our mind even slightly. Everyone has to take part in it even slightly if they understand the things and is not at the level of a creature, but slightly at the creature of a man, that his head is slightly higher than his body. Therefore, we're in a situation here that if the fruit won't be ready, there won't be anyone to go out to with this explanation. They won't hear it. So even though Bala Sulam went out at the time and it made a big deal, and from his seeds, today we are now living off those seeds. From his life today, we're really, this is the life of, this is our lifeline, but only now we are beginning to get into a process, even though it's very quick, It's at a very advanced accelerated rate. It's truly not linear, it's exponential. That truly you can say now and only now in the last year you can say that people are starting to grasp that we're all in a situation that is new. It's not once upon a time and all those things. That we'll get through this as well, and gradually, and everything will be fine. But rather, we're seeing that our entire approach to life, the entire format of all of humanity, in industry, and politics, and all the systems, bank systems, financial, but our perspective of life, our approach, the paradigm, where are we, who are we? It's all demanding criticism and to recheck in a very deep manner, very great changes, so that we'll be able to accept them, our ability to accept significant changes. I'm very careful. I'm very careful about accelerating these times. Because it's not simple. We see that it's not for nothing. We're a group that studies Kabbalah. We're approaching life according to Rabash and Baal HaSulam, Rabash, my teacher. They didn't give us a lot of strength. We don't have important people. We're not accepted as the wisdom, known, wise known people in society, that we tell the future and that we do certain acts or something. I think that time will show the necessity to go up to the stage. That truly will feel that our shame, our desperation, our lack of control exists in society and through dissemination, but in a slight way, in a moderate way, people will gradually be able to understand what we're talking about. This is what I see. There may be a lot of things that I'm skipping, but that's for now. You can say that we went through, over the last 100 years, our development from all kinds of directions, and we see today that we don't have any direction. Not from the secular, not from the religious, capitalists, from anyone. But the only thing we have left is our old Torah, the foundation of the nation, and that is what needs to show us our way. On the one hand. On the other hand, we still need to not a lot of time, but we still need to do a lot of dissemination, just like before, straight into society, and possibly also to possibly higher levels in the nation between people who think and understand. But I think we're doing it. I think it's reaching them. I think it's reaching everyone.
I think that
I think that possibly a year or 2 years, and then it will be time for us to go out. And until then, we'll have to write to shape, create a Torah, a simple version, that is suitable for everyone. The Torah of correction. And then we'll be able to head out. That's what I think. Actually, it all exists, but we have to be more organized, and we're doing it. And maybe at a pace that we can get a better pace going, in which what we're doing, we need to prepare the materials at all kinds of different levels, prepare everything that is possible to prepare. Like Baal HaSulam says, we need to sit down on the classroom benches. Who's teaching? What are they teaching? What methods? According to what are accessories, learning accessories, learning tools? And then we'll be able to realize it, our role. Do you think that at the moment, if I'm representing Israeli society, I'd really want you to give me a point of light, hope, because right now I'm in no place. It appears that there's nowhere to even aspire to. I don't want to sweeten the situation. I don't want people to be more bitter and in pain. I want to bring them the system for correction, the method of correction, that people will understand this opposite that, that we don't have any other option, that it's according to nature, the laws of nature, the clear laws of nature, that definitely we are here in a situation of the last stage in the evolution of man in this world. At the end of the day, we need to understand that we need to sweeten things for the people, like you said. We have to bring them hope. Not hope. Yes, we have the ability to change our destiny. We need to not only change our destiny, but that of the whole world. These things, we need to give them a bit and little portions, speak a bit here, speak a bit there, and inside, through the inner system in nature, we're all connected. We're all connected, each of us. Just like our roots underground, we're all connected. The fact that we're dealing with Kabbalah, we're sending there this power, this knowledge, this awareness, and it works. We have to continue. Maybe slightly we can add to it, but really only slightly. To the extent that I look fast and hot and as if I don't have time with my age and everything, I don't think that today we can turn to the people in a completely revealed manner. There's still very big egoistic interests from all directions, right, left, secular, religious, Arabs, Jews. They're not yet in a serious crisis, that they don't have what to fight for. They're still in a state where they have money, they have government. When that starts coming apart, from the general coming apart at the seams of the world, then it will be easier for us. Then we'll be able to go out. Otherwise, we're endangering ourselves. So what you're saying is, if I'm representing society, then actually you're telling me there is something, but you're not ready for it. You're not ripe for it. I have to see how they become weakened, the religious, the secular, the leftists, the rightists, what they're losing, where they're losing their control, their approach, their access, their agenda. And then I have to fill those niches here and there. I have to bring myself through an explanation toward the people, toward the audience. But to the extent that they're weakened, otherwise I'll just get blows in return. They can destroy us. And it's on purpose. It was created like this from above, that I will know these steps in a mutual manner how to proceed. I hope that in 2013 we'll see a huge financial fall, and also political, and also security. Education, there's nothing to talk about. It's social, it's things that are clear. There'll be very big cuts in health and everything. And all these things will bring us to a very big weakening of the government, of its ability to criticize, supervise, all the parties that don't even want to see us exist. They're going to get stronger, and they're going to go out to the people. When they start going down, we will be able to fill the space that's being revealed. There's a path where I can look at a process like this happening, that, like you explained, like a financial crisis. You explained it. You said financial crisis, and you said, like, I hope it'll happen. How can we also, you look at it like a good thing? I see in this whole process the guiding hand of the upper force, who is good and benevolent, and if we can work alongside him in collaboration, in the correct partnership and adhesion with him, then I see in all these things happening with the world only good signs. And the fact that the world will crash in its finances and the industries will crash and all the trade and international commerce and everything that humanity shaped in a linguistic manner beyond its what it needs for basic existence. Can you explain a bit why it's good for us, why it's beneficial? Something that I grasp as terrible, you see, hang on, it's for our own good. It will obligate us to organize our lives in a manner that we don't work. Why do I need to work? We won't work. We'll deal with what we need to deal with. We'll deal with technology. Let machines work. We'll deal with agriculture. We need to fill ourselves with food, of course, and also in health, but with what we need, with necessities, and not allow somebody to get rich from it. And then the rest, it may not even be more than 1% of humanity that will work. All the rest is redundant. And today they're already doing calculations like this, 10%. Today they're talking about 1% with the new technologies that we're seeing on the horizon in our lives. Altogether, people will deal with, they'll pick themselves up to the next stage that's called the speaking stage, through education, through connection, through bonding, so that they'll begin to feel the upper dimension, which we don't understand yet, but there they'll deal 100% with, not 90 and not 80, and there's no pension and no resting, but dealing 100% with, in a nonstop manner, with the revelation of this upper stage, which is a level of bestowal, the power of bestowal that's in nature, that's the foundation of nature. And this is what we'll deal with. And there's plenty of work for everyone. And nature is pushing us and pulling us to rise up to this degree. It's in the plan, the development plan of nature. Therefore, I'm waiting for phases to be revealed, and in accordance, I will try to identify what are the steps we can take to penetrate places that are becoming available. That's it. Or do you have questions? No. We also need to organize our organization as an organization that has to bring the method of correction. It has to be more organized in accordance with that. It has to be stronger. It has to be a world university. It has to be for all ages, for all languages, for all approaches. There has to be a lot of people dealing with it. We need to think how we take them, these millions of people that are going out of factories, organizations, out of businesses that don't have work, they're unemployed. How do we take them and how do we approach them? Do they need us? If they get unemployment, they don't need us. How we can approach the government and explain to government that you can't just leave people hanging around. Even though you're giving them food, they'll become wild beings. They'll wander around in the streets and God only knows what will happen. From having so much time on their hands, what will become of people? We need to organize them. We need to have open university for everyone, that it's an obligation, and they won't get unemployment. Then they're getting like a scholarship, not unemployment. And then we're making out of them people that are advancing along with the plan of nature, that they understand where it's taking them and which format they need to reach. But for that, we need to be more powerful. How do we do this? Where's our plan? Where we can approach governments and all kinds of organizations. That's also not clear. The material itself is not ready. We're only now beginning to analyze it slightly, to process it. We need to try. I believe that we'll get more strength and more insights and more. We need to try. We're in the preparation phase, and there's a lot more to do before we start doing anything. And here and there, we're starting to do things that will help us to prepare ourselves correctly. That's it, actually. I don't have anything else to ask. So, we're going to complete this discussion. I think if we speak some more, we need to organize all our groups around the world, that each of them has to take a direction, a task. We need to build, first of all, our world organization that will be like a university for all the nations. We need to deal with the internal stuff, the connection and the spiritual power and our groups around the world. We need to organize them in an external manner so they will be the coordinators for us to go out. They'll be like the transition to transfer this method to the whole world, to all the languages, all the different mentalities, all the nations, etc. This is something that we need to organize. We don't have it yet. We made great preparations for ourselves, for our whole system, but organizing a system through which we'll go out to the world, like we're preparing ourselves before a war, that everything's ready, the planes are ready, the ships, the tanks and everything. We don't have that. Therefore, we have a lot of work ahead of us. A lot of work, on the one hand. On the other hand, I think precisely that situation that the whole world is experiencing, even though it's developing very quickly and threatening on the one hand, on the other hand, because there's no way out of it, and politicians understand this. I think they need to try to continue to attract these situations as much as possible. And people understand there's nothing to do. Who has strength? Who has knowledge? No one. We see. So there's still time. We'll go forward, we'll advance, but it might take another good couple of years. I also thought that another year, another 2 years, and now I see, according to our ability, our preparation, it's going to take a few more years. These 2 years, this year and the year after, these will be years that humanity will begin to change, to flip from side to side. They'll begin to understand that their previous lives are over, that there's no solution in any manner through which to, there has to be a completely new trend here. What is it? We have no idea. Toward 2015, it appears to me, but in those years we need to prepare a lot of things. We need to prepare ourselves as much as possible, and this is through the whole world. And in Israel, what we began to speak about, here it's a fast clock. Here we have to do a lot more than that. We have to try to feel with our hand on the pulse where we can go in, which niches, to the extent that all kinds of different parties are becoming weaker, to the extent that we're allowed to go in to be received properly, then each time we need to continue and continue. That's it. We might need to expand our dissemination. We might need to change it each time to a higher standard, to get closer to people, to get closer to women, men, children, all different kinds of people in the population. What else? We need to see what other plans we're developing, workshops, materials, learning materials. How can we prepare teachers, educators, organizers? How we reach all of the people according to what the people can hear? Maybe our approach, our entire approach, we'll put through another type of media, maybe a movie. Maybe it's possible. Why not? At the end of the day, what we're talking about is the development of humanity, about the man going through it, what he's looking for, what he's going through, where he can find his new life, the new format. We can do that completely not in what we're dealing with. We think we're going to take our books, we'll take all this text, we'll clean it off a bit, polish it, and present it to the people. And it's not the correct way to present it at all. It can be theater, it can be, I was thinking songs, but I see that people aren't, it's hard to pass things on with songs, but in a good movie series, a television series, doesn't matter, a theater, in this manner that we see people changing and how they're discussing and what's happening with them, how they relate to life, what's the taste, the point of life, search, what's happening with the crisis, all these things, going into all kinds of issues, children and the elderly, a family that's going through this whole situation. I think that's a form, an easy, simple form of getting the message across to the people, to bring them the new approach. But still, they'll need to sit down and learn, they'll need to hear, they'll need to be operated by us to feel the new approach to life, the new approach to connecting, that we don't need to worry about anything. The new trend is, and this is what Israel needs to bring to the whole world, that man does not need to worry about his animal body. That he will get. There's nothing to worry about there. Apart from that, it's all we have to worry about. We have to be involved in it and deepen it and showing them this new approach to life, that until they were only dealing with how to fill the body, me, my kids, my family, the people, the world, something at the corporal level. Let's stop thinking about this level of this world. There's nothing to be concerned about. You'll have everything. All you have to think about is connecting. That's it. That's the only thing you need to deal with. We need to build a plan, a soft plan, so people can get used to it. What connection? With who? With what? My neighbors? Someone who's living in the same city as me, the same country or in the world. Can I connect with them? We've reached a state where just the opposite. Everyone's sitting in their apartment, behind their computer, behind their cell phone. We're all very distant. How can we, in an easy, simple, friendly manner, bring people to the new approach to life? And we're not leaving nature to deal with it, because with very big blows, very lot of pain and suffering, they'll reach it. So this is the art. We have to work with lots of professionals. How to approach people, how to explain it to them. A great preparation is involved. But I think in these 2 years, we will succeed in getting close to it. But we're torn apart. One is internal and one is external. On the inside, we need all the time to be focused inside how we ourselves are shaping between us this one special, good, benevolent force that will be make a transition for the whole world to this positive force in nature for the rest of humanity. And also how we can be adjusted to that society, how we can prepare them and prepare ourselves so that there'll be contact between us, and not just contact, that there'll really be a pipe, the wide one across from the other, this wide understanding how we connect, and then we'll convey to them also the understanding and also the feeling, the recognition, the awareness. It's a lot of work. Maybe in the few minutes we have left, can you explain to someone who's sitting on the side, he's part of the Israeli society, from your perspective, truly the process that the Israeli society is going through, from the moment they reached here, that we're going through something that's leading us to something better, that there's a goal behind it. Everything that was good for us in the past, we can learn from it for the future. There's nothing in our past that was good compared to the future, apart from morals. That we try not to make those mistakes again. That we learned our lessons. Sorry, not morals. Nature is cleaning all our past out from us. It's showing us that we cannot continue in any method. We can't renew any method. There were revisionists that tried to. Today there's kibbutzim settlements like in the city, but it's clear that they're so far from the truth. There's nothing to take from the past. We had to go through this. I can't imagine how there can be any other way out of diaspora, that suddenly the people would grasp that they need to take the correct stick, just like in Egypt. We took the other stick which blossomed and not the other sticks. There's no other way. We have to go through all these phases and to gradually get rid of this working for Egypt that we built here, and we thought that's how we would build. And now when we see the extent that we're harming us, that this exile is inside us, that in that we haven't reached any good feeling. The whole world is coming back to hate us even more than before. That if the world used to be all for support Israel, then now it's just the opposite. In that, we're in the next year or two, we have to do self-examination, a very deep, serious one. We'll understand that the world hates us. And then this hatred that will come up and will be revealed in a very open way in all the developed countries. I'm not talking about the neighbors. That's nothing new. But the developed countries that used to support us. In that, we will discover that truly we need to change. We'll have the ability to explain what the goyim are waiting for from us. And then, in accordance with our work with them, through our groups, throughout the world, we'll be able to change the way they relate to us, but especially from Israel. The moment we change, they'll change themselves. We'll hope that it'll happen. I don't think we went through something for nothing. You can never say that about the past. But I see in that getting out of exile that is very similar. Maybe one day we can even make this comparison between getting out of Egypt and getting out of our exile. So it reminds me of a situation that a person was locked up, a prisoner in jail. He was been physically released from prison, but he's still a prisoner inside. That's how he feels. That's the feeling. I think it's expressed very well in our theme song in the Tikva, Hatikva. It says to be a free country in our country. We're in our country, but we don't feel free. So we hope we'll get out soon, that's for sure. The question is, if we'll do it in a good, soft manner for us, for humanity, and also for the upper force. With those words, we're concluding this discussion. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitzan Mazuz. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best, and so long.